welcome back to Can You Put Me on Guest List. I am so excited about this next episode. I've been planning this for such a long time. And it's finally here. So I'll tell you the story about Nouria. I met her in Saudi, which is where she is from originally, back in December last year at XP Conference and Middle Beast Soundstorm Festival. And I have literally been obsessed with her ever since. She is now based in London, but has been making waves with her unique style of mixing Middle Eastern and North African music with popular records, trap music, and old-time classics. A lot of you will probably have seen her insane Boiler Room at the start of the year, which has had over 1 million views already. It was the first Southwest Asian and North African Boiler Room lineup in UK history. She's also a radio host pushing Middle Eastern and North African sounds on the UK airwaves. She was one of Mixmag's breakthrough DJs of 2022. And right now, this week, she is hosting her own stage at Glastonbury with her brand Middle of Nowhere. So she's just literally on fire right now. And I'm just so grateful that she's on the show to talk about how she started out, the music she grew up around, how the music scene is growing in the Middle East, and so much more. Such an interesting chat. And she's just so sweet. So sweet. Oh, and obviously we talk about food as well, because we love a food chat. Who doesn't love a food chat? So before we get into this episode, I just want to talk a little bit about this week's sponsor. This episode is brought to you by The Secret Inspirer and the Living Inspired membership, your monthly online guide to finding balance. With fresh content landing on the first of every month, including simple seasonal, mostly plant-based healing recipes, remedies, rituals, and cosmic updates to help you through the seasons. A sacred space to come and connect with the tools needed to optimize well-being and join a growing community of wonderful humans on a journey to living inspired. All listeners can get 1 month free with a special discount code, which is guestlist100. That is guestlist100, which is valid until July the 16th. This month's content is a bonus summer solstice edition packed with all you need to enjoy the healthiest time of the year. I'm telling you now, this membership is absolutely gold. It's so useful. So don't miss out on this exclusive offer, which will help you live inspired, healthy, and happy. And now over to the podcast. This is Nouria here on Can You Put Me on Guest List.
How are you feeling?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm feeling sleepy, even though I slept well. It's one of those weeks.
Is it bank holiday weekend in London?
That's a good question. I'm always unaware. I'm always like, the days are blurred and yeah, there's work all of the time. So I don't know.
That's good though. You're super busy at the moment.
Yes. And I'm gearing up for festival season. So I'm kind of just, you know, trying to hold on to the bit of peace.
Yeah. Are you in London now though?
I am in London at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm so excited that you've come on the podcast because...
Me too. I actually really love speaking to you, so I'm looking at this as like a, I don't know, a little bit of a break from the madness.
I like that, because this is what I like the podcast to be like. It's just like a chat, just friends having a chat, and I feel like that's kind of what we did when we did the radio at XP.
Yeah, I remember, and you asked me some lovely questions about food, and I was like, this is my type of girl. Like,
I love food related questions. What did you have for your breakfast this morning then?
I actually didn't have anything, but what I'm thinking about having is like some pancakes with blueberries on top and, you know, a bunch of syrup. What I'm fantasizing about. How about you? What did you have?
I actually had scrambled eggs for this morning for breakfast.
I love me some scrambled eggs. You can't go wrong.
I actually don't normally have breakfast. I'm not a big breakfast person. But I didn't really have a lot of dinner last night, so I woke up really hungry and had eggs.
I feel like we're twinning from afar, because that's literally me. I'm not a big fan of breakfast either.
So. Yeah, I would much prefer like a really big lunch and then snacks in the afternoon. I'm quite a snacky person. I like to just snack.
What kind of snacks do you like? Inspire me. I'm bored of my snacks.
Carrots and hummus is like my number one snack.
Yum. I actually just bought baby carrots, so I can do that.
Carrots and hummus. And I have one of my friends staying with me, and she squeezed like some lemon juice and then put some like herbs on the carrots, and it was really nice.
That's a lovely way to spice up your life.
It is. Literally. Oh, how has everything been? How have you been since I last saw you? We met in December, so it's been
Yes.
6 months now. How has
Yeah.
everything been?
It's
I feel like
crazy that it's been
loads
half
have.
a year. Yeah, it's crazy that it's been half a year. It doesn't feel that way, but everyone says that, right? But
Yeah.
it's been a mad journey, for me. I think the biggest thing I would say is that I have a bigger team now, so I have a bit more support to with everything going on.
Okay.
And what else happened?
A lot.
I ate a lot more meals since then. I don't know. Lots happened.
I actually genuinely don't even know where to start this interview because I just feel like so much has happened. And when we left XP conference, so anybody that doesn't know XP, this is a conference that happens in December in Saudi Arabia. I think last year, was it the third edition, second or third?
Was it second,
The
maybe?
second edition. So obviously, everything is really blowing up in that region. I think it's like the fastest growing region in music right now. So it's a really exciting time and it was super exciting to be there. But when I left, I was so blown away by the amount of artists and sounds and new genres that I'd never heard of before. And I was like, I need to know more about this. Like, I need to be more involved. And after following you since then and seeing how much you have grown in such a unique way, makes me so excited. Like every time I see something about you anywhere in the media, on your Instagram, I even remember it was New Year's Eve and I walked into one of my friend's house and there was, your boiler room was on the TV on the big screen.
Oh
And I was just like, I'm
no.
in love with her.
Yeah, but it's been, I think that moment especially has shaped a lot of what came after it, but it's been maybe 7 years in the making in a way, so that's how I look at it. And I'm just excited about what we're about to do and like what's coming up and in which way. I'm a very intentional person, so even the boiler room itself and how it was curated and everything was so intentional. So I'm really just happy taking my time with it, even though it feels like there's a lot on, kind of
Yeah,
thing.
I can imagine. Let's just start talking a little bit about your background and where you're from, just so listeners can kind of build a bit a bigger picture.
Yeah.
So you're from Saudi Arabia, you've moved
Yeah.
to Japan. How, where are you from exactly, and how did you end up in London?
So apparently I'm originally from Bahrain, and it makes kind of sense because I was born and raised in Saudi in the eastern coast, so it's like a 30-minute ride to Bahrain. So I don't know which great great grandma or grandpa moved to Saudi, but that's where I was raised, and mom gave birth to me there. And then after maybe a decade or so, my dad's job took him to Japan. He's an engineer and he had a project in Japan. And then we went back to Saudi for a little bit. And then he had another project in London, which is where we settled. And I've been here for the past, I don't know, 12-ish so years. Yeah, over a decade. Yeah.
Okay. What was life like in Japan?
I loved it. As a kid, it's amazing. And especially they have these arcades that I used to always go to and play, like Donkey Kong and everything of that sort. And these like fabulous photo booths that you go into and take photos, and then you can edit them with like funky emojis. They were way ahead of their time, well, even though it was maybe 10 years plus ago. Plus I'm a foodie, as you know. So everything, I ate my way through Japan. I think it's so lovely to experience as a kid also, because you don't really understand a lot of like the social dynamics and nuances, so you just take
Yeah.
like the best bits of Japan and keep it moving. Yeah.
So what were your first memories of music like then? You've obviously you've lived in so many different places and different cultures, different ways of life. So how does music kind of feed into the places that you've lived in?
I think because my dad also kind of did uni in America, it really
Yeah.
influenced how what we listen to. So if I'm having a ride in the car with my dad, we would be listening to the Arabic greats like Talal al-Madah and Kulthum Fairouz, and then at the same time he would have like Louis Armstrong, Marvin Gaye at the same time. And I think that really influenced what I also play at the moment. So if you have watched my boiler room, it's like all genres under the sun alongside that sprinkle of Arabic.
Do you think that's where the idea of coming If you've watched Noria's videos on Instagram, her viral video clips that showcase how Arabic samples have been used to make some really iconic tracks in popular music, do you think that this is where that idea has also come from, like from your dad, from listening to such a mix of genres?
Oh, I think 100%, 100%. I think kind of drawing on those parallels was really easy because of that background. So everyone kind of, at home, we listen to a lot of Abdul Halim Hafiz, which is the sample that was, the artist that was sampled in Big Pimpin' Jay-Z. So like, if, for example, if you're growing up listening to these big tunes as part of both cultures that you're moving into, you're just like, whoa, there's a connection, you know, naturally. So that I am sure a lot of people had, but that's how it kind of came together for me.
Yeah. So you've always been surrounded by music from a young age.
Yes, which is something I never realized, because when I went to study, I was in the healthcare field, so public health, and did my master's in public health completely separate to music. Then when I look back, I'm like, whoa, music was really part of the tapestry growing up, and I didn't even realize.
Do you still work in public health now?
Yes, but I have to let it go because there's no time. But it makes me really sad. It makes me really, really sad, even though financially public health, sadly to say, is like a third of what I am currently making, which is terrible because I think public health is such an important field that should be rewarded. I think I have to let it go due to time constraints. Otherwise, I would have loved to keep it in my pocket forever. There's like a very specific reward that you and a sense of purpose that you get from public health that I don't get from music, honestly.
Yeah. So now you're just going to be full-time music?
Yes.
Wow. Did you ever think like 10 years ago that music would be something you would be doing full-time?
Honestly, yes.
Amazing. Like, I love that.
Like when I started, I knew this was, you know, if I keep going at the work ethic that I was going at, I really knew that this was just a matter of time. That's how I felt at the time.
Do you know what? I'm so happy that you answered that, because normally if you ask that question to someone, they'll be like, no, I would never have thought this would happen. But that, it just goes to show how much you believe in yourself and how much you've pushed yourself to get to where you want to, which is like the best thing, like reaching your goals.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of mentioned earlier, I feel like everything I have done has been immensely intentional. I think it's a big part, even kind of choosing of when to do things and where.
Yeah. At what point though did you actually realize that you wanted to make a career out of music, and more specifically represent Middle Eastern, Northern, North African sounds?
I think it was a year before the pandemic. What was that? 2018, something like that.
Yeah, it feels like such a long time ago now, doesn't it?
Yeah, time is freaky. The more I think about it, I'm like, this is a hot mess. I don't want to think about it. It's too warped in my brain. Yeah.
So around that time?
I think around that time, yeah. Five years ago.
So yeah. It wasn't really that long ago at all.
Yeah, if you count the pandemic in, it's not a long time ago. I think I've always done radio prior to DJing and writing and things like that. I tried every single creative thing under the umbrella that you can think of, even filmmaking, documentary, audio making. I tried everything to figure out what I actually enjoyed. And then I was like, I knew this is what I want to do. Yeah.
But I love that though. So you studied public health, but then so everything that you've done on the creative side, whether it's been music or filmmaking or documentaries, that's all kind of must have just started as hobby then.
Yes, like without a doubt, it was nights and weekends. That's when I was exploring these things. Yeah.
And I'm curious to know how you started out in radio.
Oh, everyone asks this question. Sometimes I get shy about it, but I'll tell it how it is. I remember I was writing my public health dissertation. It was around child health in conflict zones. And I was so fed up with this dissertation. I was stuck. I remember it was around the time that Anderson .Paak's NPR dropped. I just remember that because I had it on replay all the time, and I used to like dance when I was losing my mind writing this dissertation. And I remember I needed just a day off, and I went to the shopping center, and I was just walking around like, I don't know, I wanted a a boba and suggest sea people and humanity again, because this, I don't know, 30,000 word dissertation was killing me. And then I remember I went into JD, which is a shoe store, for those who don't know. Uh-huh. And I remember I asked for my size 5.5 UK in Nike Prestos. And then I just remember that the staff member who was serving me had like such a weird reaction to just serving me normally. Like he would be like, how's the weather outside? I'm like, why is this man asking me how the weather is outside? And then eventually he said, we don't have your size in this shoe, please go try another store just in the corner. And I went ahead and left. And then when I left the second store, he just came and he's like, I just told my manager that I needed to go get some water and she allowed me. But really, I just wanted to come and say, like, you have a really lovely voice. And can I have your number? And then I said, so what's the dream? Because usually when people do retail, not that there's anything wrong with it, but if they're doing retail, there's like a, it's like a side hustle of some sort. And he said, oh, I work in radio. And he said, oh, do you know Radar Radio? I'm like, no, I've never heard about it. And then he told me about the concept of community radio, which I never knew about. And then he said, I'd love if he could do some voiceovers for us. And then I saw that this radio station had also courses that they had on, and knowing myself, I signed up to everything, and that's how I started my journey. Saw the decks, fell in love, loved pressing buttons. I was like, yeah, this is the best marriage possible. Started okay. DJing.
Okay, so you didn't even know how to DJ at that point. You just went in just to do voiceovers.
Yes.
And then you learned how to DJ there.
Yes.
And what year is this in?
Is it 2016? Something like that. 2016? Something
how
like
old
that.
Are you, Noria?
I am 28 at the moment.
You're 28. Yeah. Okay. Wow, that's such a unique story. I wasn't expecting that. That's such a nice story. Are you still friends with the guy from that shop today?
Oh, 100%. We're so close. Every time I get something, like for example, this year, I'm like, I can curate a stage in Glastonbury, and like without you in that pinnacle moment, probably I wouldn't be here. So every time I do something big, I message him. I'm like, hello, it's me again.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay, so what was your first ever show like on the radio? What was the first radio station you were at?
It would probably Represent. It was Represent.
What was your first show like?
Terrible. I didn't even know how to use like the faders and anything like that. And I didn't know how to entertain people. Like I didn't know what to say. I'm like, ah, this is what I had for breakfast. That's it. And I wouldn't say
like
anything.
What I ask? That's my kind of show.
Yeah, me too. But apparently that's not what you're supposed to do. Apparently. But you know.
So from there, you did that show. And then, so at the beginning, you were just kind of, you were just doing, like in music, you were just doing radio.
Yes. And I was also producing radio shows at the time. And so kind of like thinking about segments, funny games. Yeah.
And was your show at that time, was the music that you're playing, were you representing Middle Eastern, North African sounds on that show?
I think I would have sprinkles of it, but it wasn't kind of the focus. It was like a sprinkle of it.
Okay.
So if I was playing a jazz show, for example, I'll put some Arabic jazz in it. Like a
okay. And then at what point did that lead into you fully just going, I'm going to 100% represent the sound?
I think I never really did that, to be honest. I've never fully like did a... So I had one radio show where I did that because I kind of was like, look at the sphere of the radio world, that there's nothing where anyone is playing 100%.
Yeah.
Kind of swana music. And I did that for one radio show idea, but nothing else. Everything else is like, it's just a sprinkle. And I do that because I want this music to just be part of the global... bigger music table, as infectious as reggaeton is, as infectious as amapiano is. I'm just like, why not have a seat at the table? So I just put it in between everything that I enjoy.
Yeah, I think it's really special because you're one of the very few DJs that does that, especially in the UK.
Yeah, I believe so indeed. I think if not the first, even kind of our party. The party that I put on Middle of Nowhere, it was the first to ever do that combination. Like there always has been silos of where Middle Eastern North African music would be played and that would be it. And then the other music would be played in other parties. But I was like, let's combine them together. Yeah.
When did you start Middle of Nowhere?
It started at the beginning of 2022. Yeah.
And what was the first, was the first event in London?
Yes. Yeah.
And what was the feedback like? What was it like from the first one?
Can I swear on this podcast?
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, I was going to say I was shitting bricks at the time because I didn't know how it will go at all. I don't know if you've ever hosted any type of event, but hosting events is a shit bricking exercise. That's how I call it. And I didn't know what the reception would be. And I started with a very small venue. It was like a 200 cap venue and it sold out quickly. And I was like, okay, there's something here. We can go bigger next time. But yeah, that's how we started. Very intimate. Now it's 1,100 venue cap from then on.
I was just going to say, haven't you just recently, didn't you just upload something about selling out your next event as well?
Yeah, I have a headline show where I only announce myself in London just as a way to see what the demand is. It's kind of this, my whole career is an experiment, trust me. Then I put it on and it was sold out in a day, that like a 1,100 cap venue. And I was like, yay, this is great.
That's amazing. Yeah. It must feel like a really strange feeling selling out and knowing that 1,100 people have bought tickets to come and see you.
Yeah, it is a very strange feeling. I haven't played that show yet. It's happening on June 10th. And I am a little bit like, if you think about it too deeply, which I don't recommend, my brain is like, I'd like over 1,000 people are coming to see me specifically. It's a bit of a madness.
Sorry, I probably just made that word.
No, it's okay. I think like, you know, it's something to get used to. That's how I think about it. I'm like, this is a challenge because leading up to another challenge. Maybe I speak to you in, I don't know, 5 years or so, I'll be like, oh, I sold out a 10,000 cap or something.
I think that will 100% happen. It will happen.
Yeah, let's see.
It will for sure happen. Do you still feel nerves before a show?
Not as much as before. I feel nerves more, not for the performance, but more so if everything is going okay. Because when you're responsible for producing something as well, it's so different to also performing at the same time. I think is everyone enjoying themselves? Is there, yeah, even down to, is there enough toilet paper in the toilets? Like, I think about everything.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah, we need toilet paper.
We definitely need toilet paper, especially in the club. Okay, let's talk about Boiler Room, because I was so blown away by this. I don't even know how many times I've watched it. It's had over 1 million views already. Mm. I'm not sure even how many exactly, but a lot. It was the first Southwest Asian and North African Boiler Room lineup in the history in the UK, which is insane. How did it even come about?
You know, when I started, you know how I said I'm very intentional. When I started Middle of Nowhere, I knew that that was something that was going to happen. Okay. So I knew in advance that that is something I wanted to do. And it came about, how did it come about? So there was a South Asian Boiler Room the year prior. And I, if you know anything about kind of England, South Asian culture is so engrossed in it. Like, for example, there are so many Indian takeaways. Like, even the concepts of like chicken tikka masala and chicken butter are like British kind of South Asian dishes that kind of where cultures merge. So they have a very deep history in the UK. And the reason why I say that is that means like in parallel, their music and its culture is more seeped into kind of the UK. And I felt like Swana Music was much behind. We're like maybe 10 years behind that. Yeah. And they did a Boiler Room, like a South Asian Boiler Room the year prior. And I just knew that we could use some of that representation. But I didn't want it to be so like siloed. Everyone who came on did an amazing job at playing whatever the hell they wanted. I just needed it to be a representation of people rather than the music. Like, I just needed them to express themselves however they wanted. I'm like, mm-hmm. Here are amazing people within the community who do great things. That's how I saw it.
And the most special part is that you had your dad, Baba, with you.
Yeah, shout out to Baba. I really threw him in the deep end. Bless him.
What did he say when you asked him to do it?
He was like, I don't understand, but okay. That's
what... And then he turns up and there's like all these people and all these cameras. I bet he was like, what am I doing?
Oh,
the
man had so much adrenaline after that moment because he didn't anticipate how much love he received off the back of it on the day that he needed a moment to chill on the couch. He didn't even watch like most of my performance after his moment from adrenaline. Yeah.
Why did you feel like you wanted him to be part of your boiler room?
Because remember at the start of the episode, we were talking about how I was with him in the car and he's playing all this music. And like, also, he's a man who always plays Dawood, like the instrument that he played in the boiler room, in the toilet and everywhere he goes. Like he just for the acoustics, he says, but who knows? And I just felt like that was such a big part of my story. And I felt like if this is my debut boiler room, I might as well tell my story.
That must have been so special, like such an important and special part of your career to be able to share that with your dad.
100%. And I always tell him, you changed my life. You know, you have a hand in changing my life. Yeah.
What about everybody that was at the boiler room? Because I just felt like the energy in that boiler room is another level. Was it people that you knew or was it people that were just all vibing on the same energy?
That's an amazing question, because if you look at the video, you're like, oh, they must be best friends for a decade, like kindergarten.
100%.
But no, it's people who have been coming to middle of nowhere parties and just it feels like there's this transient community and they've come together knowing how big of a moment this was for us and came to celebrate. And yeah, it feels... like it's something that touches me to this day, talking about it from how people showed up. Of course, my friends were in the audience, but they were in the back.
Uh-huh. Have you watched it back loads of times?
No. It's kind of cringy to watch back. There were so many mistakes, so many, like, even audience members from dancing, elbowing the stop button, many moments many like innocent human moments in that way. Yeah.
What was the response like? Because did you go on tour after the boiler room set? What was the response like in the region after?
Yeah, I didn't even know it reached there. I just remember I was posting snippets of it on socials prior to it dropping on YouTube, like officially. And I just remember I was in the car to Middle Beast to play, which I was told about a couple of days before. They're like, you're playing for 40,000 people, like, get ready. And I just remember I was in the car to it because it's a little bit, you know, in a remote-ish location from Riyadh. And in the car, I was more worried about the drop of my boiler room set on YouTube than what I was about to play for 40,000 people. I just remember, that feeling of shitting bricks was happening in the car. Yeah.
Wow, that must have been like two massive moments, thinking, okay, I'm about to play in Riyadh for 40,000 people plus my boiler room is coming out at the same time.
Yes, but I just remember from the snippets that people saw and like seeing the snippets of me with Baba, people were so like, oh, you're that girl who had her Baba in a full-fledged thobe. Come on. And it's also, I think there's layers to it in a sense that it's like quite unique to see a dad like support me, especially in terms of my identity in this way. Like there's just something quite special about it, I felt. And it took a long time in my relationship with him. Like they've been kind of supportive of me doing my own thing, but they didn't realize what I'm up to until very much later on. When they saw me on a TV, Arabic TV, kind of snippet of me being interviewed, then they realized what I'm up to. I think it took like 7 years also, like for me and Baba to have that moment. So it was a moment for us and I think a wider kind of, yeah,
moment. And what was their first response when you say, for example, they saw that snippet of you on Arabic television? What was their first response?
They were like, oh, I think my dad was touched because I always speak about the moment where how much influence he had on me. Yeah. I think we've never even spoke about that together. So then he heard it for the first time on interviews. I think he was touched. Sweet.
Oh, nice. Now, let's just go back to what we were saying before about Middle Beast. Okay, so then going back to Saudi to play, what is that feeling like playing in front of 40,000 people in Saudi Arabia?
Honestly, I had zero idea what to expect, because obviously Middle East is not a very, it's a very new festival relatively. I didn't know how audience react in that setting. I didn't know who shows up. Like, I just didn't know. There were so many unknowns. It's something out of my expectations. I think that's why there was a bit of like, I just need to go do the best that I can and see what happens, then take the learnings. Yeah.
And how did you find it at the end? When you ended that set, how did you feel?
It was interesting. I saw a sea of men in the audience. And yes. Like, a sea of like, I'm like, it's endless. I'm like trying to spot, you know, some girl power in the audience. But I think at the beginning, I did find that they were like shocked that there was a woman commanding the space. But then after I dropped a couple of tracks, I think it was also a stage where I played a lot of hip hop and rap. And I think once we settled into it together, both me and the audience, then there was a bit more interaction. Definitely we needed to break the ice with each other. Yeah.
It's so interesting though, that's what you have to do at a play. Well, obviously this is all brand new and it's all starting to blow up now. But having that thought of having to break the ice between the audience and you playing, it's probably the only place where that probably would be happening right now.
Yeah, I think right? So. Sometimes it happens on a different level in different stages, but I think this was a very unique, yeah, dynamic that I never experienced before.
And how have you seen since then, since obviously things like XP conference happening and Middle Beast, how do you see the scene growing in the region?
Ooh, I only think the sky's the limit. I think there's so much amazing crossover as well that's happening. Like yesterday, I was reading how Arapiano is having its moment. So like there's so many different cross cultures happening, which is just making the scene boom in different ways and different artists collaborating with each other. Yeah, yeah. I think the sky's the limit. Yeah.
Do you feel like as well that your representation in places like the UK is really really breaking how mainstream media kind of falsely portrays the region sometimes?
Oh, 100%. I think a good example is that I was curating a jazz stage at XP conferences, and I asked, I had local bands play, two of them, one from Jeddah, one from Riyadh. But then the third one, I wanted an international band to come so that there's that kind of crossover between musicians. And I remember asking different bands whether they'd love to come play Saudi Arabia, and they had like huge fears around what it would be like. You know, the media portrays it as such a difficult place to kind of exists or showcase your work. Yeah. And I think after last year and that showcase, a lot of people were like, you know, in the UK, they're like, after they've seen the work that I've done, they're like, it's actually like much more accessible and approachable than they ever thought based off the media.
100%. Like even myself was going over as a speaker to speak at the conference. I know loads of people that were also invited and everyone was like, no, I'm not sure. And it's obviously just because what you see in the media and what you hear. But once I'd been there, and as I said at the beginning of this podcast, and I was just totally blown away by the different artists, the different sounds, different genres, and just the excitement that there is around the growth of the music scene and the industry. I was like, I have to be part of making sure that people don't accept or believe what they hear or see in the media.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like,
we need people to go to these places and be part of these things to then take it back to their groups of people or wherever they're from and show that actually is not always like what is made out in the media.
Oh, 100%. And I think a lot of the artists who are based there have a lot of challenges explaining that concept to a lot of the outside world festivals, like about, yeah, how they're portrayed and et cetera, and taking them seriously as well. So it's like a both way, yeah, job that needs to get better, I guess.
I loved it though. It was so great. I loved the festival and the conference was brilliant.
Me too.
I learned so much there.
Yeah, and I met a lot of cool people, including yourself. It was cool.
It was really cool. What is your biggest wish for the music industry?
Oh, this is so hard. There's so many wishes. I think my biggest one is to pay people fairly.
Yes. Good
Yeah.
answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Good answer. You are one of Mix Mag's Breakthrough DJs of 2022.
Yeah, pew, pew,
Whoop you! Amazing. What does the rest of 2023 hold for you, or what are the two or three things that you're most looking forward to this year?
Oh, I'm most looking forward to the headline show that we spoke about. Then I am looking forward to having my European tour and my Swana tour, so my kind of Southwest Asian North Africa tour. Yeah. Those are things I'm excited about. Also, I'm excited to rest more, hopefully. Yeah.
Are you not getting much rest at the moment?
Listen, when I close my eyes, I'm like, oh, I have to get up soon. That's how I feel.
What do you do, like, outside of music, like hobbies that to disconnect?
Oh, I love that's a great question. I recently started going to the gym, which is a weird concept to me because I'm like, why are there people around me whilst I'm, in compromising positions? But I also do a lot of puzzles. Me and my friends have this like food exploration going on, so we would like try different cuisines, Ethiopian to like niche Korean. Yeah, bits and bobs like that.
Oh, that's nice. You're exploring different places around London, like different food
Yeah, around
places.
London and whenever I travel as well. Yeah.
Do you like to cook?
I love cooking. Do I have time for cooking? Maybe, maybe not. Yeah.
What's like your star dish?
My star dish, weirdly enough, it's Thai green curry. That's my star dish.
That's my star dish.
Yeah, it's very easy, isn't it? But like
Yes.
it's like an easy bang. It's like I tried, but I really did not try. But also
Yeah.
I tried. Yeah.
But then you give it to someone, they're like, wow, this is amazing. You're like, I actually really didn't have to do much.
Yes, exactly. That's like me in a nutshell. Like, yes.
Okay, so this podcast is called Can You Put Me on Guest List? So I ask everybody the same question at the end. Do you have a guest list rule?
Like for my own parties and my own guest list.
Yes.
My guest lists are always dictated by. Wait, give me some example answers. What?
Okay, some example answers have been like, don't ask me 1 hour before the show, or don't
I mean,
send me
that's a
like,
given.
yeah, or don't send me like random names, like put it all in one message so I can copy and
Oh,
paste.
okay. I got you. Okay, my guest list rule is send your first and last name. Thank you. Like you also not your artist name, your actual name, the ID name in full. Thank you.
That is actually a good idea because if you
Yeah,
don't
it'll
get
be
that.
like it'll be like Teezy, put me on guest list. Who's Teezy? Like what?
Or they just
Yeah.
think that they just think that you know.
Yeah, no, I assume that the bouncer does not know your ass. Like, just.
To end, I have some really quick fire questions.
I love fire questions. Let's go.
Okay, what was the last thing that you Googled?
Oh my God, let me see right now. This is scary. Ah, how do I know? Let me go to Google. I Googled a sound. Let's go. I Googled a sound effect. That's what I did.
A sound effect. Okay.
Yes.
Which is the emoji that you use the most?
Oh, it's the crying laughter, like a lot of people.
What is your favorite studio snack?
Nuts, any type of nut.
Any type of nuts? Okay.
Yes.
Do you like peanut butter?
I love peanut butter. Give me it in spoonfuls. That sounds good.
I actually can't buy peanut butter because if I buy it, I
Are
will
you
literally just.
allergic?
No, I'm not allergic. I'm addicted.
Oh. I'd rather have that than an allergy, because an allergy is a bit hard to navigate in this world.
It is very much so. What is your favorite cocktail?
Mojito,
A
I would say.
mojito.
Yeah, I
Okay.
love mojitos.
What would a perfect day off look like for you?
Did you say date?
Date. No, I said date off, but actually date is actually a really good question. I've never asked anyone that, but
a perfect day off, I wake up and everything is slow. So like even getting to the sink to brush my teeth is a slow ordeal. Everything is like, take your sweet ass time. And then I would go to the beach, even though there aren't any in London. And then you said ideal. And I would have a book. And then afterwards, I'd have food with my friends and a lot of hydration. And then we would go to the cinema. And then I'd come home and I have like a watch my favorite shitty shows and go to bed.
What are your shitty shows?
I watched my latest shitty show is The Ultimatum, the queer version. Yeah.
Okay.
It's on Netflix. There's only 4 episodes out.
Yeah. Okay, I have to check that one out. Who is the DJ with the best dance moves?
The DJ with the best dance moves. I think I like what's her name? On Salsa, I think, or on why can't I get it? But she is a DJ from Barcelona and runs Dambuti Club.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. What was the last thing that you screenshot?
Oh, give me a moment. This is so hard. screenshot. Wait. It was a meme. It was a meme. Someone asked, what's the reason that wars start? Wrong answers only. And someone puts my boiler room.
Oh, nice. Noria, thank you so, so much for being part of the podcast. I'm so happy that we made this happen.
No, me too. Thank you for starting my day in the right way. This was, I felt like this was a good accelerator into the rest of the day. Yeah.
What are you doing for the rest of the day?
I am going to go for a flat viewing immediately after this. And then I am going to go to the park with my siblings. My sister is visiting from Bahrain. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Lovely. Well, good luck with your viewing. And I hope you have a really nice time with your family.
Thank you.
I don't know when I'm next going to see you in the world, but I
hopefully XP if you're coming again this year.
I'm coming, yes.
Okay, yeah, see you then, I hope.
That'll be our yearly meeting.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a lovely lifelong tradition.
It does. I hope it is. I really hope it is. I'm super, super grateful that you came on. And again, I'm just like so excited of everything that you're doing. You are a wonderful human being. And
thank you.
Very grateful
I appreciate
that we crossed
it. You know me as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you very soon.
See you. Take care. Bye.